Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Eid Mubarak to everyone. Tonight is the night of Eid. We congratulate everyone, all believers, mu'mineen, mu'minat, here in our community and throughout the globe. And above all, the Imam of our time on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr. And we hope that this Eid is a time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the oppressed people, relieves them, especially those in Afghanistan and in Palestine. The Palestine situation is getting worse in ways, better in other ways, but in terms of the suffering that the believers are going through and the difficulty that has been increasing, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieves those believers from their hardship, and with their patience they are rewarded by a great victory inshallah soon. We would usually be doing dua al-iftitah, but this is the first night of the month of Shawwal, the night of Eid, and dua al-iftitah is for the nights of the month of Ramadan. So we have an opportunity to do a different dua, and inshallah I will read a dua, but we don't have, I didn't have the text prepared, and so inshallah I'll just read like this without having the text on the screen. Inshallah it won't be too long, and hopefully we will all benefit. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير استغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا قائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا من يرحم من لا يرحمه العباد، يا من يقبل من لا تقبله البلاد، يا من لا يحتقر أهل الحاجة إلهي. ويا من لا يخيب الملحين عليه، ويا من لا يجبه بالرد أهل الدالة أهل الدلالة عليه، يا من يجتبي صغيرا ما يتحف به ويشكر يسيرا ما يعمل له، يا من يشكر على القليل ويجازي بالجليل، يا من يدنو إلى من دنا منه، يا من يدعو إلى نفسه من أدبر عنه، يا من لا يغير النعمة ولا يبادر بالنقمة، يا من يثمر الحسنة حتى ينميها ويتجاوز عن السيئة حتى يعفيها إن صرفت الآمال دون مددي إن صرفت الآمال دون مدى كرمك بالحاجات إن صرفت الآمال دون مدى كرمك بالحاجات وامتلأت بفيض جودك أوعية الطلبات وتفسخت دون بلوغ نعتك الصفات فلك العلو الأعلى فوق كل عال والجلال الأمجد فوق كل جلال كل جليل عندك صغير وكل شريف في جنب شرفك حقير خاب الوافدون على غيرك وخسر المتعرضون إلا لك وضاع الملمون إلا بك وأجدب المنتجعون إلا من انتجع فضلك بابك مفتوح للراغبين وجودك مباح للسائلين وإغاثتك قريبة من المستغيثين لا يخيب منك الآملون ولا ييأس من عطائك المتعرضون ولا يشقى بنقمتك المستغفرون رزقك مبسوط لمن عصاك وحلمك متعرض لمن ناواك عادتك الإحسان إلى المسيئين وسنتك الإبقاء على المعتدين حتى لقد غرتهم أناتك عن الرجوع وصدهم إمهالك عن النزوع وإنا ما تأنيت وإنا ما تأنيت بهم ليفيئوا إلى أمرك وأمهلتهم ثقة بدوام ملكك فمن كان من أهل السعادة ختمت له بها ومن كان من أهل الشقاوة خذلته لها كلهم صائرون إلى حكمك وأمورهم عائلة إلى أمرك لم يهن على طول مدتهم سلطانك ولم يدحض لترك معاجلتهم برهانك حجتك قائمة لا تدحض وسلطانك ثابت لا يزول فالويل الدائم لمن جنح عنك والخيبة الخاذلة لمن خاب منك والشقاء الأشقى لمن اغتر بك ما أكثر تصرفه في عذابك وما طاول تردده في عقابك وما باعد غايته من الفرج وما قانطه من سهولة المخراج عدلا من قضائك لا تجور فيه وإنصافا من حكمك لا تحيف علي فقد ظاهرت الحجج وباليت الأعذار وقد تقدمت بالوعيد وتلطفت في الترغيب وضربت الأمثال وأطلت الأمهال وأخرت وأنا وأخرت وأنت مستطيع للمعاجلة وتأنيت وأنت مليء بالمبادرة لم تكن أناتك عجزا ولا إمهالك وهنا ولا إمساكك غفلا ولا انتظارك مدارات بل لتكون حجتك أبلغ وكرمك أكمل وإحسانك أوفى ونعمتك أتم كل ذلك كان ولم تزل وهو كائن ولا تزال حجتك أجل من أن توصف بكلها ومجدك أرفع من أن يحدى بكنه ونعمتك أكثر من أن تحصى بأسرها وإحسانك أكثر من أن تشكر على أقله وقد قصر بي السكوت عن تمحيدك وقد قصر بي السكوت عن تحميدك وفحهني الإمساك عن تمجيدك وقصار الإقرار وبالحسور لا رغبة يا إلهي بل عجزا فها أنا ذا أؤمك بالوفادة وأسألك حسن الرفادة فصل على محمد وآله واسمع نجواي واستجب دعائي ولا تختم يومي بخيبتي ولا تجبهني بالرد في مسألتي وأكرم من عندك منصرفي وإليك منقلبي إنك غير ضائق بما تريد ولا عاجز عما تسأل وأنت على كل شيء قدير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم صلوات اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Apologies, the app I was using for the dua and the new updates, I guess they had an app updated and there were errors in the text. I'm sure I had errors in the reading of it, inshallah. But the reference is, this was the dua of Imam Zainul Abidin salawatullah wa salamu alayhi in As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr. Point that may be good to remember on the night of Eid, after a little reminder on Zakatul Fitra, the zakat that applies to everyone according to the common understanding of the fuqaha, or the jurists, or maraja, is Zakatul Fitra. The other zakat that we have applies to certain earnings, certain products. If one is raising livestock or if one grows crops, certain crops, certain livestock. Also, if someone has, according to the common understanding of the jurists or our maraja, if someone has currency, if there is currency anywhere in the world, which as far as I know that doesn't exist, that is gold or silver, and they have made a lot of that currency, they have it with them, with certain conditions, zakat applies to that. But those are generally on commodities and certain currencies. that zakat applies. Zakatul fitra applies to individuals, meaning the person. It's not about how much you have made or how many livestock you have or homes or things like that. Of course, the person needs to not be in need of help themselves. If they are in need of help themselves, then it doesn't apply to them. But those who are not in need of help, they all have to pay an equal amount. The wajib amount, of course, is equal, and that is the figures that they've come up with was about $10 to $12 a head per person, basically, for zakatul fitra, and it applies to the person, you know, so it's on each person, but the one who is supposed to pay it is the one who's responsible for those people. So the breadwinner, the bread maker, the one who brings food to the table, the one who provides for the family who's working, they are going to be responsible to pay it. Of course, if others have the funds, they can also, but the responsibility falls on the shoulders of that person. And whoever is under the financial responsibility of a person, then they have to pay zakatul fitra for them. There's a common question regarding zakatul fitra. It's many times asked, and that is on the night of Eid. There's something written in the Risala. I don't want to mention what is mentioned in the Risala, but it has led to a common misunderstanding, and that is if people have guests over for iftar on the night of Eid, then that makes the host obligated to pay the zakatul fitra of all of those. That isn't the case. A guest is not someone that you are responsible to take care of. In other words, they are not part of the people that you support financially. What is intended by what is mentioned in the Risala is if anybody joins, for example, if you adopt a child on the night of Eid, then with the conditions that have been mentioned, I don't remember all the different conditions, but the idea is that timing, what they're trying to say is that if that person is added on the night of Eid, or if God gives you a new child on the night of Eid, before then there was no child, you didn't have that responsibility. Now that you have, or you have someone that you adopted, or a family that you started taking care of, that you're financially supporting them, they rely on you. That is, those are the types of people that if that happens on the night of Eid, then the person that has now started to support those people will have to pay zakatul fitra on behalf or for each of those people as well. But being a guest at someone's house doesn't qualify as that. And so people don't need to worry about where they go for iftar on that night, and the hosts are not responsible to pay zakatul fitra for the guests, and the guests are to pay their own, whoever is the supporter in each of those families that's now a guest over the other families, they're supposed to pay their own zakatul fitra. Of course, one last thing regarding that is that zakatul fitra is once for each person. If somebody takes that on themselves, we talked about who has the responsibility of paying it. If someone else comes along, or let's say the children have come of age and they are working, they make their own money, but they're still relying on their parent or parents to live. They still live at their place and the food is purchased by the parents. The child, you know, makes some money, they save it, or they buy little things for themselves or whatever they do with it, but they're not supporting themselves. The person who's supporting them is still the parent. Well, the parent is responsible, but if that child decides that I want to take care of my own, that's fine. There's nothing that bars them from that. But in that case, they would have to communicate that to their parent. Otherwise, their parent is going to end up paying another one, which is extra. There's no need for it. And zakatul fitra isn't one of those things, well, let's pay more. Well, you want to pay sadaqah, fine, pay sadaqah. Zakatul fitra is once. It's not more than that. If you want to pay more sadaqah, then do in other ways. Zakatul Fitra has a very particular amount, and you can't just, you know, add to that because you like to. No, it's a certain amount that you have to go by what has been mentioned. The point that we should mention related to this and the night of Eid is on this day of Eid, we're told to pay Zakatul Fitra. It's a zakat that we're supposed to be paying. Those who have, God has given them so that they are on their own, they are able to sustain themselves. In terms of what we mean by sustaining themselves is they don't rely on anyone else. They work, they have the funds, they have, God has given them, but everybody relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in terms of relying on other people, they don't rely on them, they support themselves. If God has given people that, on the day of Eid, He's made it an obligation to remember and pay a certain amount towards those who cannot, who don't have the means. Of course, that's the common understanding of where it must be spent. According to the verse of the Quran, sadaqat, which all zakat are called sadaqat. The other word for it is that innama sadaqat lilfuqara wal masakin. That verse that talks about sadaqat, that's referring to zakat, and it's talking about where zakat should be used. So it's not only, according to that verse, it's not only the poor, but that's definitely one of the usages. And we'll focus on that. In the community led by the Prophet, where there are people that have the means to take care of themselves, there is an obligation that comes with the rizq, the abundant rizq that God has given those people. He gives, let's not forget. We're not like Qarun. When Qarun was told, give from what God has given you, he said, God didn't give me this, this is mine. I had the knowledge, I had the intelligence, I was smart, I knew how to do this, and I earned it, it's mine. That's Qarun's notion. Our, inshallah, we're all believers. We believe that everything that we have belongs to Allah. God gives to whomever He wishes in abundance. وَيْكَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. And He gives small amount and little to those He wishes, where they have to rely on others helping them. That's God is providing their sustenance as well. Everybody's sustenance is provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't need the money He gave to those who have in order to take care of those who don't have. He made it in this way. He said, I'm giving you more than what you need, and I'm giving that person less. They don't have enough to support themselves. And while I give you that, I'm telling you, it's your obligation in different ways. One of those is the time of Eid al-Fitr. This time it's an obligation. You have to pay a portion of what you have. Not too much, but that whatever the amount is, that amount you have to care for and spend a little bit and give. And that portion is their sustenance I have put in your and what I have given to you. Just like a father, a man who is the breadwinner in the family, as they say. He's supposed to, Islamically, he is obligated. Everybody else can work. The mother of the family can also make money, but she's not obligated to spend that on the finances of the family. The husband is obligated. A husband, a father, a man who is making enough, and he is obligated to support his spouse and his children. So part of what God is giving him through his business is not just his sustenance, it's the sustenance of his spouse and his children as well. The same way that that is true and there's an obligation there, there is an obligation to care for and consider part of the rizq that was given in abundance to me. Part of that is actually not my rizq. Part of it is actually not my sustenance. Part of it belongs to them. I have to. One of the other verses that talks about this in a more general way, not limited to the day of Eid or to the other form of zakat, that doesn't, according to the common understanding, doesn't apply to everyone. The verse says, "Wa fi amwalihim haqqul lis-sa'ili wal-mahrum," and in their belongings, in their property, in what they own, what's in their possession, haqqul lis-sa'ili wal-mahrum. There is a definite portion. They consider it a right that they owe and they must give. لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ The sa'il, the person who asks for assistance. And mahrum, whoever does not have. And we notice it, even if they don't ask us, we don't wait for asking people to ask. As soon as we see someone that doesn't have, we realize that part of what I have actually is rizq for them. I need to go and pay it to them. This teaching that we have in Islam, and on the day of Eid, we have this obligation of making this payment, is something that has been repeated in the Holy Quran, in many verses, in different ways. On one hand, the description of the believers is يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ or آتَوُ الزَّكَاةِ. They give zakat, zakat in the broad sense of the word. That's a description of the believers. And so that tells us how, if you want to be a believer, part of what you're going to be doing is giving zakat. And zakat is not limited to these two wajib forms of zakat that are wajib in this way, because they're not even the only wajib zakat. If you see someone that needs help, even if zakat is not on you, even if it's not Eid al-Fitr, but you see someone needs help, it's wajib to give them. This is a different form of wujub. It's called wajib kifai. It's not wajib on me or this person or that person. If nobody takes care of them and they die, it'll be a sin on all of us, all of us who knew. If somebody needs, there's an obligation to take care of that need. That's also wajib. The difference between that wujub and the wujub in the case of the zakat that applies to livestock and crops and so on, and the zakat of fitr, is that in zakat of fitr and the other zakat, they apply to people with certain conditions and applies to that person, regardless of there being needy people or not. You don't care about that. It's just, it's Eid al-Fitr, I have to pay zakat al-fitra. But the other wujub isn't upon every single person. Somebody needs to take care of that person. And there should be a race. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ We should be racing, rushing. I want to be the one that helps them without anybody knowing. Hurry up before anybody else knows this person is in need. Take care of them. And if nobody does, it's a sin on everybody. That's the definition of wujub kifai. The Quran says that the description of the believers is a yu'tuna zakat. That's one way of putting it. Another way of putting it, related to taking care of the poor, okay, I want to repeat this, that zakat is not limited to taking care of the poor. Zakat has a few different usages. One of them is taking care of the poor. Another is taking care of the debt of those who are in debt. They may not be poor, but they have a lot of debt. In Islam, if somebody owes money to others, okay, I borrow money from someone, if I can't pay it back, that debt remains, no interest accumulates, and they're not going to sell my house to take that, they don't have a right. If I don't have the means to pay it right now, فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٌ The verse of the Quran says, you got to give him time until whenever God provides for him. Okay, well this person, never on his own has it. Now I have paid, there's zakat, What do I do? One of the usages is find the people who are in debt, pay off their debt. That's one of the usages of zakat. Al-gharimin. One of the other usages of zakat is when there were slaves. This part of the concept of Islamic slavery that needs to be understood along with everything else, and we're not going to open that topic up entirely, but we're going to say this: in the Islamic society where there were slaves legitimately and that God had sanctioned, in other words, He had allowed, and what God allows is right, it's good actually, it's not even just okay, it's good. If it wasn't good, God would have banned it. While He allowed it with a certain definition, not allowed, it mandated it in the cases where it applies. There were prisoners of wars, that's who becomes a slave in Islam. A person who is a people that have fought Muslimin and they lost the battle, the captives, the people who lose that battle, they become slaves. Okay. Now, they are prisoners of war. They've committed crimes. They've killed people too in that process. But now they're alive. They've been taken as captives. What happens? They become slaves. Part of the expense or part of where zakat is to be paid is to buy slaves from their masters and free them. وَفِرْ رِقَاب, the verse says. فِرْ رِقَاب, those were slaves. Islam's plan is never to keep people enslaved. That's not the idea. Add slaves, free labor, that's not the idea at all. Part of what zakat, the money that people make, or zakat generally that people pay, the wajib zakat, the other forms of zakat, as-sadaqat, yes, let's use that word that the Quran uses. Innama as-sadaqat. One of the expenses is wafir riqab, those who are. And then one of them is those who collect zakat, and then another one is fi sabilillah generally. But specifically talking about this idea of caring for those who don't have. If we have, not losing sight of the fact that many don't have. And just because I'm comfortable not, you know, to not bother with others, that's not the idea in Islam. So on one hand, you have all the verses that encourage zakat, encourage and say mu'mineen are those who pay zakat and so on and so forth. We have another set of verses that condemn kuffar, condemn people for not, kuffar and muslimin, for not doing that. And the wording is interesting. I think we've covered some of that wording in some of the chapters we've talked about, and perhaps some of them even in the month of Ramadan. There's a number of verses of the Quran that have a wording similar to this. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Okay. This is in Surah, this wording, particular wording is in Surah Al-Ma'un. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Search the individual words, you will see it's repeated. In Surah Ma'un, God is condemning those who identify as believers. God says they disbelieve. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Who are they? One of their qualities, bad traits is وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Okay, I'll get back to the meaning of it. There are other cases in the Quran, like in Surah Fajr, كَلَّا بَلَّا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. If I got the wording exactly right, it's something. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا كَلَّا بَلَّا يَحُضُّونَ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. If I, for some reason, the word isn't coming to me. I had that memorized, but for some reason my mind is getting confused between a few different verses. But the idea is that in that context, it seems like that is referring to mujrimeen in general, and perhaps because of the examples of Fir'aun and Ad and Thamud that were mentioned there, it could be more specifically related to kuffar. There's another verse in the Holy Quran, series of verses that talk about those who end up in hell. And they're asked, why did you end up there? And one of the part of their response is, we didn't care, we didn't pay for, we didn't take care of. Now back to the meaning, that the particular wording, وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ is more than just paying. You know, there's people, you have some very wealthy people that pay, there's organizations that actually make money for those in it. They're supposedly nonprofits, so the organization, the corporation is not a for-profit corporation. It's non-profit, so it's not there to make profit, supposedly. But the people who put it together for their own personal profit. They make sometimes a lot of money off of it too. And these nonprofits are ones that supposedly go outside even of this country to areas where they have trouble with drinking water, they have trouble with food, they have trouble with security, they have trouble with whatever it is, and they provide those needs for the people. And then you have some very wealthy people donating to these organizations. Besides the intention and all of that, I don't want to get involved with that. Why do they even give? Do they really give? Or are they the smart people who know how to cheat the system in terms of taxes? And they know that if they can get their taxes written off, on one hand, they'll make a name for themselves as a good person. Instead of the government taking it, it's lost anyway, so you might as well make a name for myself out of it and give it away to this nonprofit organization. Whatever the intentions are, that's besides the point. The point we're trying to make here is these verses say, لا يحض على طعام المسكين. حض is to encourage people to feed. Specifically, the feeding is mentioned. Feeding, of course, it's not limited to food only. It's taking care of the needs, but the wording that's used is feeding. To encourage. They don't encourage that. What I understand from this is that just some organization coming over and saying, we're trying to do this, can you contribute, and throwing a little money in there, this isn't going to be yu'tuna zakah that was mentioned in the verses. It doesn't say they drop off their zakat in a box. It's yu'tuna zakah. They give it. They give it where? They give it for those causes that God mentions. A mu'min, a believer, considers those expenses that are mentioned where zakat will be paid towards. A mu'min considers those items important. They care for them. On top of the list are people who don't have. When you care for them, then you try to gather. You try to make sure that more money is gathered to take care of that need. So you're going to encourage people to feed or take care of the needs. يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ is to encourage. لَا يَحُضُّ, they're condemned for what? For not paying a few pennies? No, it says لَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. They didn't have this feeling of, oh, this need needs to be taken care of. And so let's get people, let's create a culture where we care for and we pay for those needs as a community. That's something that needs to be encouraged. And that's something that we all need to think of. We have to develop this spirit that we identify the areas that God says, these are the areas that those of you that I have given more to, as other verses, in مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, we give them funds, we give them money, we give them businesses. They have the ability, they have the funds, they have the intellectual capacity to take care of these things. What is it that God wants you to take care of? Look at those in the Quran. One of the verses that you can find is this, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءُ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. And the other items that are mentioned there that we briefly went over. A mu'min needs to be trained to see those as what I'm responsible to take care of, and then I start looking. And when I find it, I don't just say, okay, somebody here, come take this money. No, that need needs to be taken care of. when I see there isn't enough, well, there's a certain amount that I have. Can I as an individual, or you as an individual, the other person, any one person, take care of the needs of the needy? Absolutely not. A community needs to discuss this with themselves, amongst themselves. Everybody come forward, contribute towards it. If people collectively move in that direction, then we will come to a point where there will be no poor people. There will be no one that is in need, as we have with the descriptions of what it will be like at the time of the Imam of our time. That item on the list of what sadaqat will be used for will be no longer. That's not a form of sadaqah you can, because there is nobody in need. The problem society faces is not that there isn't money to take care of people. There's plenty. There's more than plenty. God has provided more than the number of people that He has created on earth. Currently, right now, at any given time, there's more rizq for the people that are on earth. Part of that has to be, or the taklif He has given, is for those that He's given more to use that to take care of the others. The problem is that this care for the others has been lost collectively. We don't encourage each other about that. We don't have that as something that's constantly on our minds. And the other items on the list, of course, it's not just the fuqara, but that's one very important item. It's repeated in the Holy Quran. If we learn to identify those expenses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that those of you who have need to take care of this, and then we look at ourselves, I have a little bit, but then there's others. I'm supposed to encourage, and all of us need to encourage each other, create it as part of a community effort, a community desire and want, a community that is motivated to search for those areas that God wants them to take care of. Those who have money, spend money. Those who don't have money, they have time and they are capable of taking care of it, go and take care of it. Those who can be providing labor for that, those who can manage that, those, whatever there is. Work isn't just money. Well, if all that money is gathered in one place, who's going to turn that into a system, a process, a factory that produces the products that are needed for those areas? One of the problems that we generally have with the funds that are collected is there isn't really anybody that knows how to deal with it. A lot of it gets wasted. They do things that are not really beneficial. Why? Because everybody's worried. Most people are consumed in gathering funds. Well, if you want to make those funds, process them so that those funds are given the amount that is needed, the way it's needed, the way it's best for the person, the recipient of it. For someone, it'll be food. For others, it'll be clothing. For another person, it'll be shelter. And the proper form of it, and money won't get wasted. Resources shouldn't be wasted. The reason why they're wasted is where we don't have this mentality that the Quran says يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ isn't to drop off money in a box. يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ is that believers are concerned about these expenses that God has said are there. And they talk to each other about it. They come up with ways, those who contribute, those who can work, those who can manage, those who can design things. You get together and you end up taking care of all of those items. Fuqara on top of the list. In some countries, of course, where there are less fuqara, like the country that we're living in, there are fuqara, unfortunately. And it's very horrible to know that fact. But there are other needs that take priority, like Islam, guiding the souls of people,
That generally is top priority. After that comes taking care of the physical needs. There's a certain way of interpreting the fuqara in a way where generally those in need, well, some people are not in need of food. They have abundant, they're obese actually. They have more than what they need in terms of food. What they're lacking is spiritual nutrients. They're lacking spiritual food. And for that reason, they have the chaos that they have. Islam, which is fi sabilillah, that's the last item, I think, or one of the last items that's mentioned in the list of fi sabilillah, is one of the items mentioned where zakat should be spent on. That means we generally need to look at what goals Islam has. One of the most, in fact, important goal of Islam is guidance. And so sabilillah is to provide guidance for people. That's one of the goals. That's one of the items on the list that believers should be worried about, concerned about, and see that it's not being taken care of, and talk amongst themselves, how should we deal with this? Those who can contribute financially, do so. Those who can contribute with knowledge, do so. Those who can contribute in whatever way. We need to create a system that takes care of these needs. A community needs to develop this in their collective minds, in their collective psyche. That should be something that's important for everyone in the community of believers. And I'm not talking about a specific small community connected to a particular center. These are not what, separate us and we say this community or that community. Believers, the community of believers globally. Of course, we start on with people that are closer to us physically and we have more contact with. That's where we start. But for all Muslimin, this is the direction that we're told, we're given in the Quran. We need to identify those areas that we need to work towards. That would be sabilillah. And we're told to consider it important, work together and encourage each other to work towards those goals, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us all. The one that is working most towards those goals is the Imam of our time. And anyone who is able to contribute even a little bit in the way that was mentioned, anyone, any community, any group of believers that can organize themselves to start moving along those lines will be a follower of the 12th Imam today. They will actually be following his footsteps. And inshallah, Allah makes us some of them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah to grant believers their hajat, their needs. It's Eid, Ya Allah. All believers have needs. We understand that there are those of us who are more in need physically, some of us spiritually, but the ones that we see in more need, the people of Yemen, the people of Palestine, the people of Afghanistan, the people of at least certain areas of Pakistan, in Bahrain, in Burma, in wherever else the believers are suffering, they're under harsher conditions. Ya Allah, grant them their needs, help them get through their sufferings and give them, liberate them from the oppressions and the oppressors that they are living under. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve. This is Eid, Ya Allah. This is the second Eid we are having, Eid al-Fitr, the second Eid al-Fitr that we're having during the pandemic. Ya Allah, relieve us all of the pandemic sooner rather than later so we can come together as we used to, be closer to each other, form congregations and salah and so on and so forth. And lastly, Ya Allah, relieve all the people of the world of the various forms of oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa alihi rahimallah, man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat. Allahumma salli.